What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Between the VG Covers. Same crew here. We got Mary,
Alex,
Hamid,
and we're gonna start off with Alex's book. So, Alex, what did you read?
Well, I read the autobiography of Gucci Mane, and the author is I don't know how to say his name. It's pretty bad, but it's like Radrick Davis. That's his real name, Gucci Mane. And so, yeah. That's the book I read.
So it was an autobiography,
yeah,
right?
It's an autobiography.
Okay. How long was it?
It was actually 305 pages. It was a really easy read, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
How'd you find out about it? Like, are you a fan of him? And
I listen to Gucci Mane a lot. And when the book first came out, like, I wanted to read it and stuff. It was, like, last year. But I'm not a big, you know, reader, so I wouldn't just go buy the book. But now that I have a reason to actually read it, might as well.
And he does this in, like, first person, too,
yeah,
right?
First person. He talks about himself. It's all him writing and all that stuff, so, yeah.
Awesome. So what was the basic premise of it? Like, what happened? What
did
he talk about?
So, basically, it's just, like, about his life, like, a timeline of what happened in his life. So, like, he was, like, a con artist as a kid, a drug dealer. He used drugs. He, like, was a murderer and, like, how he was famous and rich. So, basically, like, everything that went on in his life. And like, one thing I'll just tell you, like, a story about it. So, like, he's known for like, killing this well, he killed people, but then he got away with it. So, like, when people sing about, like, you know, killing people or, like, using drugs and stuff and, like, getting away with it, they usually refer to Gucci Mane because that's what he did. But basically, he went to this girl's house. And he was, you know, sleeping with her or whatever, but she had a husband or, like, a boyfriend or whatever. And so he basically went to her house and, you know, they were doing whatever they're doing. And her boyfriend came home with, like, a bunch of other people. And so, like, he shot one of them and killed them. And, like, he fled the scene. But he got, like, all the charges were dropped and stuff because it was self-defense. So that's where they get that from, like, the, you know, kill people and get away with it. But,
So he didn't. So he didn't actually just, like, go out and kill someone. He was, like, self-defense. Okay.
Yeah.
I was a little.
Yeah.
Nervous. Why are you listening to a killer?
But no. So yeah. And then he actually went to jail. Like, if you know Gucci Mane, you know that he's always been fat, like, really heavy,
yeah,
and, like, hefty.
And,
yeah. And when he got out of jail, he was super skinny, right? So people thought he went to jail because of, like, the murder and how he killed this guy. But he got away with that, and he went to jail for drugs, for actually using drugs and selling it. So, yeah, I didn't know that, and I learned that reading this. So, but yeah, it's like his family, like how his dad was in his life, and how he taught him how to be, like, who he was, because he was, like, a con artist, and he got a, you know, went to jail and all that stuff. So just like him, he's basically just like his dad. But so yeah, it's just basically what I was like.
Yeah. It sounds like really interesting. I was confused. Like I said, I was like, I thought when you said murder, I, like,
yeah.
I've been watching a bunch of crime shows. And I was like, oh, he killed, like, 8 kids. So were there any, like, important quotes that stood out to you?
One quote that did stand out to me, he said, my father used to say that if you keep looking back, you're going to trip going forward. And, you know, Gucci Mane, he basically went through a lot of stuff. Like, he went to jail, he killed someone, he, you know, basically all this bad, like, illegal stuff that he's been doing. And if he were to just, like, look back on that and, like, stay focusing on that and be depressed about that, he wouldn't be who he is today. Because right now, he's making, like, $2 million a day. Like,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Goodness,
like, it's crazy,
yeah,
how much money he has. Like, he just had a wedding with his girlfriend. Or wife now.
Yeah.
How much money did they spend on that? Do you remember? Like, it was, like, over $1 billion.
Oh, my.
And, like, it's ridiculous. But he basically is, like, rich, famous, all this money. Like, he, you know, is making music back to back. Like, it's crazy.
He,
like,
buys a lot of jewelry.
He literally buys so much stuff, cars, everything. But that wouldn't be possible if he, you know, was focusing on, you know, all the bad stuff that he did in his life. So,
I like that mentality. That's a cool quote.
Yeah.
So how did he, like, talk in the book? Was it the same kind of, like, vocabulary he uses in, like, interviews and stuff, or did he, like...
Yeah, it was, like... I mean, like, I would describe it as, like, real than, like, raw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the way he talked in the book was basically if he were talking in real life with him. And, like, he's not, like, he's a rapper. So yeah. The way he talks is different from, like, an English teacher, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, like, I'm interested in it because, you know,
I don't know, that's just...
I'd rather listen to him talk than, like, a freaking professor from, you know, Harvard or something. But, yeah, I just like the way he talked in that. It made me want to read it, too, because that the way he...
Gives you a break from the, like, very eloquent, like, confusing dialect people use.
I feel like if there are more books like this, I would actually read it, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in it, and, like, it's Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Gucci Mane?
So did he make, like... What was his tone? Was he, like, kind of funny, or was he kind of boring with it?
I mean, it was funny, but, like, it wasn't really... It was just, like, him telling his life, you know? Like, he was... It was, like, serious, but, like... You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't...
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, funny. I mean, it was funny, but, like... But it would be funny to me, but not, like, to other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel.
So, yeah. But it was... Yeah.
So I assume you liked the book, right?
Yeah.
Why did you particularly, like, enjoy this one?
Honestly, I feel like, I mean, I can't really relate to it because I never killed anyone or, like, did all that stuff. But
it's good to hear.
But, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's, like, I don't want to say, like, it relates to me, but, like, I just like it. Because I feel like we come from, like, the same backgrounds, kind of, like, our families. Well, my dad didn't do all that other stuff. But you know what I mean? Like, African-American, you know, that background and not having the best.
Even though you can't relate to his, like, exact struggle of, like, having to overcome self-defense murder, but you can, like, relate to the other stuff.
And, yeah. Yeah. Like, where he came from. And he's from Alabama and Atlanta, and those are, like, major cities. Well, so basically.
So do you recommend this book, like, and if so, like, who would you recommend it to?
I'd recommend it to people that don't like reading, because I honestly do not like reading. This would not be something that I would do ever in the rest of my life, but this book, you actually would want to read it, you know, the way he, and plus people listen to him, like, people know him, like, he's famous, people want to know about him, so just, like, learning about his life, I mean, it's interesting, you know, so just people like me, honestly.
And if you could say anything to Gucci Mane, what would you want to say to him? If he's listening, he is listening, actually, I can see the live chat, he's right there.
Gucci Mane, you're that dude, I'm just letting you know, you're hard, okay, all right, cool, go crazy. Okay, so, this is Alex, and I'm about to interview Hameen. So, what's the name of your book?
Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Okay, isn't that the book that you...
I didn't read that book. Wait a minute.
So, who's the author?
Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm.
Okay, and the genre?
It's fantasy.
Interesting. And how many pages is it?
It's 652.
Ew.
It's like multiple, but it's just like multiple stories. Oh, I think there was like 200?
There's a
stories?
Lot.
Like, 200 stories.
And it's small text too.
It varies from like one page to like eight pages per story.
Well, not how bad. Did you discover it? I mean, I'm not trying to...
I think like a pretty cool gal.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty cool.
From like last time when Mary was reading, I was like, "Oh, this book seems interesting." So I'm like,
"Might as well,
babe. Might as well."
Okay.
My attention, but yeah.
What point of view is it written from?
All right, the stories varied, but the stories I'll be talking about are in first and third person.
Okay.
Cool.
So. The stories you're talking about, what's the basic premise summary?
So one of them was about a poor man and a rich man. So that was basically talking about where this guy, he was like a traveler, but in reality he was like a lord that he went by. So he went to the richest man in the village asking if he could stay the night, because he was traveling the whole night. So when he went to the rich man's house, the rich man denied him. He was like, nah, if I allowed every person, the beggar, to come to my house and stay the night, I'd be broke and I'd be begging myself. So he basically just like closed the door in his face and just told him to look somewhere else. So the traveler from there went to the poorest man. Like, he lived like in a little hut. Mm-hmm. So when he got there, the vibe was completely different. The man let him in. Mm-hmm. He shook his hand. He's like, yeah, you can stay the night. Then they gave him food. And then when they gave him food and they were about to go to sleep, the wife and the guy said, stay in our bed since so you can rest well. We'll sleep in a, I think it was like a bed of straws or something like that that they'll make.
Yeah.
So the traveler didn't want to, but the couple
convinced them to. Yeah,
so the next morning when they woke up, they made him breakfast. And then when the traveler was about to leave, he was like, oh, thanks for all the like being kind and this and that. He's like, oh, just for that, I'll give you 3 wishes. So the 3 wishes that the couple said was, one of them was eternal happiness, health till the death. And for the third one, he didn't know till the traveler said, oh, you won't want a new house because it looked like in a real small hut. So he's like, yeah, I'll take a new house. And then when the wishes came true, he had like the best house there. And then of course, like the rich man, he was like, was that, wasn't there a little, like wasn't, was there, that? Wasn't there a like small hut there? Uh-huh. Then so he sends his wife to go check it out. And then the couple tells him the story. Oh, the guy that, there was this traveler that came, we let him stay. And he gave us 3 wishes. Then the wife goes back and then she tells the husband. And the husband was like pissed. He was like, I was rude. And then he hopped in his horse looking for the traveler.
Yeah.
So he hopped in his horse and he found him. He was like, oh, hey, I was the one that was rude to you, this and that. He's like, oh, but can I get 3 wishes, though?
Like, hey, I was like a jerk, but yeah. Can I still get those 3 wishes?
And then the traveler's like, yeah, but they're not going to be to your advantage. So he gives him 3 wishes. The guy's all happy, and he's leaving. And then on his way back, the horse is, like, getting him mad. And he, like, he wanted the horse's neck to be broken, and the horse died. So that was one of his 3 wishes. So when he was dragging the horse back, and then he was like, he was getting mad, and it was extremely hot. So for his 3rd wish, he did it like by accident. He's like, oh, I wish this horse off my back and my wife to be here. So he wasn't clear. So the second wish was the wife was on top of the horse, and she was stuck on the horse. She couldn't get off. And of course, the wife was mad. She was like, oh, I can't get off because you made that dumb wish. She was like, you better use that 3rd wish to get me off. He didn't want to, but she forced him, and then that was his 3rd wish, and then from there, he didn't get anything.
That's just what he gets. Like,
for being rude. I mean, if you have money like that,
yeah,
at least let somebody stay. Like, it doesn't matter what.
Give back to the poor people.
Give him some type of shelter. And the other story? And the second story was the ungrateful son, where a man and a wife were... they were making roasted chicken and for the whole family. So the son was like very ungrateful, and he didn't like, for some reason, he didn't appreciate his dad. So he tried to take and hide the chicken so the dad couldn't eat, because he didn't appreciate all what they did for him. So from there, when he grabbed the chicken, hid it, the dad walked in, he was hungry, he was trying to look for something. So the only thing he had was like a glass of wine. So after he drank the glass of wine, he just went back inside, like outside, where he was chilling with his wife.
So wait, he was looking for the chicken, and then he saw that it wasn't there. So
yeah, it was like gone.
Okay. He just drank wine.
Yeah, he just drank wine because he was starving.
Yeah, nothing to eat. Yeah. Okay.
So then the son is like, oh, that's messed up what I did. I'm going to go put the chicken back. So when he put the chicken back...
He felt bad.
Yeah. And then for some reason, the chicken changed into like a toad. Then from like there, the toad just lashed onto his face.
The son's face?
Yeah. And then from there, he was just like, the frog just stayed on there. So that, I guess I was like teaching him a lesson, since he was very ungrateful for his family. So the toad was teaching him a lesson. So because of that, the toad stayed on his face for the rest of his life. So he had to feed the toad, or else the toad would feed off him. So
nobody could get it off?
No. They couldn't, because if they tried to, it was like venomous.
Oh.
So the whole family and everybody just stopped trying because they don't want to either die or the toad jump on them that they were thinking. Then the kid never experienced happiness ever since that. So I'm like, just
one little mistake, now he can't ever.
Yeah, can you imagine if like he like wasn't trying to like hide it out of Mal's intent? He's like, I'm gonna trick my dad. So like, I play a joke on my dad. My dad's gonna love it, and then Frog ruins his life.
Yeah. It was like a weird. It was.
I'd be hot, man.
It was weird, but.
Oh my god. Okay.
Respect your parents. That's the lesson.
But yeah. So. Okay. So, are there any important quotes that stood out to you?
Yeah. All right. So I chose two. So one of them is, if I were to lodge everyone who knocked on my door, I might very soon myself go begging myself. So that's from the first story, from the rich man and the poor man. That just stood out to me. I was like, wow, that rich man is really stubborn. And he was like, oh, if I start having everyone come over, I'll go broke myself. But when he knows, he won't. He's just being like, he don't want to be kind. I guess he's just being like, all right. Because everyone that's rich, they have like that mindset. I'm like, I'm better than everybody else. Yeah. Isn't that? Yeah. And the second quote was, it would not be to his advantage. And he had better not wish for anything. So that goes back to the first story where the Lord or the traveler told him, like, you get three wishes, but they're not going to benefit you.
Yeah.
Almost like you can say in how life is, that when you're bad in like certain ways, bad to other people, and you want something back, they're going to give you something back, but it's not what you intended it to be. Yeah, those are the two quotes that stood out to me the most.
Okay, how would you describe the neighbor's tone? Was it, formal, funny, dry? What?
It was funny. It kept me like entertained throughout the whole reading. So,
would you read any other books from this author?
Yeah. Okay. Like, this book actually had me entertained. I actually liked it.
Was the vocabulary easy or like difficult? Was
it, like... No, the vocabulary was like easy to read.
Yeah.
I knew about everything that was going on.
It wasn't like old times.
No. It was fine.
So, did you like the book? Why or why not?
I liked it. It was actually like some of the things were funny, and then it was like relatable, somewhat, you can say. That the book just had like a lot of detail that about nowadays, how they could have like reflect.
You could,
yeah.
Okay. Would you recommend this book to other people, and to who?
Yeah, I would recommend it basically to everyone that wants to have, like, you could say, fun, or that just likes reading books about like fantasy, just like trippy things.
I think Alex should jump on this train and read the book next. We don't have any more podcasts, but
might as well. You too, Miss McGinnis.
Yeah, Miss McGinnis, read this book.
If you could say one thing to the author about this book, what would it be?
That the authors have like a creative mind, and they actually like try to put some like effort in the books that to keep like the readers entertained.
Cool.
All right, Mary. So, what book did you read?
I read *Becoming* by Michelle Obama.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. All right. So I'm guessing the author was.
Yeah, it was Michelle. It was her autobiography.
Okay.
So that was a genre.
How many pages was it?
It was 448, so it wasn't too big, but it was still like quite a read.
Okay. How did you discover it? Like recommendations online?
My best friend has like a Michelle Obama wallet that she got for like Christmas because she loves Michelle Obama. And I needed a book, and I was talking to her, and she's like, oh, you can get Michelle Obama's autobiography, and I was like, yo, I love her, I'll get it, and so I got it, that's how I got it, so a recommendation, but also, I just needed a book.
So the point of view was?
It was first person, she wrote, like, her life.
So, like, what was the basic premise throughout the book?
So, I'm not going to give, like, her whole life story, but a lot that happened, like, she was born January 17th in 1964. She was born in Chicago, Illinois, and her last name was Robinson, not Obama yet, And then she graduated from Princeton University in 1985 and graduated from Harvard Law in 1988.
Oh, she's smart. I didn't realize she was, like, smart.
I think she's the first lady to have graduated from the, like, Ivy Leagues and to have, like, multiple degrees.
Oh, that's crazy.
But, yeah, because after you after she left Princeton, she studied at Harvard, and then she went to work in marketing and intellectual property law. And then she met Barack in 1989. Oh, I miss him so much. And she was working in Austin and on a marketing law firm. And then she was assigned the training of a summer associate. And then she was assigned to train a summer associate. And his name was Barack Obama. And that's how they met. And then they got married in 1992. So, about 3 years later. And they got married in the Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. And then they had their daughters, Malia and Natasha, in around 1998, sorry. And they had Malia Ann first, and then they had Natasha.
Wait, not to, like, interrupt, but isn't there a movie, like, about them two and how, like, their life, basically?
I think there is. Or it's coming out.
Coming out, something like that.
I also want to see it, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a movie coming out about Barack. I know that.
Yeah, imagine being, like, the president's daughter. Like, that'd be...
That's crazy.
That's, like, Cory in the House or some of that show. I love that show. And then in 2000, they started the first campaign trail for Barack Obama to be a U.S. congressional bid. But he unfortunately lost, and so when they campaigned for several months, Mrs. Obama said she did not enjoy it. She hated it.
Really?
I don't think she hated it. She just said it was not enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And then in 2002, she decided to work in community affairs at University of Chicago Hospitals. Right. And then in 2004, they were back on the campaign trail, and Barack campaigned for and was eventually elected the state senator of Illinois. And then in 2008, they ran for presidency, U.S. presidency. But Michelle Obama, along with Barack Obama, like, their whole family, received a bunch of, like, attacks during this time. And luckily they won, but they were receiving, like, a bunch of attacks. Yeah, like, because...
African-American.
Yeah, because they were the first, like, African-American. Oh, my gosh. There was a pigeon. I didn't like that. But because they were the first, like, African-American first family, like, or potentially the first family, they were getting, like, a bunch of
attacks. Just a bunch of races.
Yeah. And then, luckily they won, though. So she became the first African-American first lady. And they were the first, like, African-American in the White House, like, in the president's spot, which was really cool. And then in 2010, she started her Let's Move campaign, which was set up to reduce childhood obesity. She kind of got a little backlash on that from just people who didn't like her in general, because they were like, Obamas hate fat people. And it wasn't it. She was just trying to create a healthy environment.
She's trying to help.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of, like, stuff happened between then. So, like, in 2019, they went to the Academy Awards. And she was the first lady to announce the winner of an Oscar.
Oh, wow.
And she announced Best Picture, which went to Argo. I don't remember what that movie was. But in 2013, when Barack was still in presidency, she still faced criticism. She was criticized for not taking a stronger role in women's rights, because that's what usually, like, the first lady does. But her supporters weren't swayed as they praised her for taking a stand against obesity. Because, like, each first lady has something they stand for and something that they're, like, known for. And because Michelle Obama's thing was for obesity and not women's rights, everyone was kind of annoyed. And then, when Trump's campaign started happening, Michelle Obama got, like, really worried, and she was very, like, nervous for her family and everything, because they received even more attacks and more threats. So she was really, really scared about that.
but she like she trusted the like
the sister,
the yeah, the Secret Service to protect them and her family.
I mean, they kind of have to, since they're like ex-president, you can say.
Yeah.
So, and they're pretty famous since they're the first African Americans to.
Yeah. So
that was a big huge change step. Of events. So. Yeah. Open more opportunities for others.
Yeah, it was. She talked about it a lot. Like she, I remember like on election night, like when Barack Obama was getting elected, like voting, mm-hmm. was coming in. She was still deciding whether or not she wanted to like do it. Yeah. Like, he like turned her and he's like, "Are you? You still haven't decided, have you?" And she's like, "I guess we're doing it." But I think she eventually like became like accustomed to it. She really liked being first lady and being able to advocate for a bunch of like needed things.
Yeah, that was good. Did any of like important quotes stand out to you?
I don't know if they were important to me. They kind of sound like. I guess they're not like inspirational or anything, mm-hmm. but one of the ones was when they were first introduced into presidency, like when they first went to the White House, she said that they had to surrender to the idea that there was no longer room for impulsiveness and whimsy in our lives. And I thought that was really like I wrote that one down because it's like, I don't know, I live my life based on like impulses, so I'm kind of the person who's like, you know what, let's go to Disneyland, or let's go to the beach mm-hmm. Over the weekend, because I don't plan anything out.
Yeah.
And so, like, the idea of having to give that up, like, to have your life so controlled and have it so, like, mapped out is just, like so stressful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't like that idea at all. And then the other one was, it was during the chapters when she talked about Trump's campaign, and she said, everything from the safety of our daughters to the orchestration of my movements lay almost entirely in the hands of other people. And so she talked about, like, how difficult it was to, like... Because when you're a parent, your, like, number one concern is your kids yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And because she didn't have the control of her kids' safety, like...
That worried her?
Yeah, I talked to my mom about that. I was like, what would you do if you weren't in control of, like, how safe yeah. I was? And she was like, I couldn't do that. And it kind of, like, I don't know how a parent would be able to do that.
Like,
and
that's
then,
difficult for the parent. Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that she said, like, her movements lay almost entirely in the hands of other people... that like she had like no control of anything because of how like risky it was and how heated the political like system was getting. So those yeah, stood out.
That's difficult for a parent, especially the mother.
Yeah, like so yeah, that those were the quotes I picked, but I don't know how she did that.
How was the narrator's tone throughout the book?
She was kind of like funny in some points, like whenever she talked about Mr. Obama, so Barack Obama, she kind of like, you can tell that she loved him so much, and she still does love him so much. They're not dead, luckily. Oh my gosh, knock on. Where's wood? Anyway. Oh my gosh. But whenever she talked about him, she would always like make jokes, and but she was very. I think the whole like. Throughout the book, I guess the main one would be inspirational. She's very, like, everything she faced, like, any hardship she faced, she, like...
Adversity.
You know? Yeah. She was just like, yeah. And then I overcame it. And I was like, oh, okay. Nice. Yes.
For the vocabulary, like, was it difficult, easy?
It was easy in most parts, but there are some, like... I think the hardest words for me to understand were definitely whenever she talked about, like, presidency or something.
Like, the governmental...
Yeah. Because I don't like government. Yeah, like when in government class, like I pay attention, but like, yeah.
Would you recommend this book?
I would recommend the book, yeah. Probably to like my friends who like are on like are Democratic or just like the Obamas, and also honestly to like any woman who's like faced or anyone who's actually faced like discrimination, because she talks about it a lot and like overcoming it. And it was about, like, her becoming... get it, because that's tough, but... like, becoming herself. And so it was a really cool autobiography.
So I'm guessing you liked the book?
I did. I really liked it. I don't really like autobiographies, because I feel like I've had this, like, concept of, oh, they're just people bragging about themselves, right? But I really liked hers, because hers, like, she talked about everything, and I thought it was really cool.
If you could say one thing to the author, what would you say?
If it was in person, I'd probably freak out because I love her. But I would probably say, like, I would want to ask her about why she did choose to do the Let's Move movement, because I know she talked about it, but usually, like, why was that, like, something that stood out to her? Because she never, like, faced that before, so I don't, like, what was it that jumped out to her about that book? So, yeah.
Oh, that was good.
All right, thank you for listening. This is Alex, you know.
Mary. And I'm Mary. Thanks for listening to Between the BG Covers.
And this is a wrap.
Later. Bye.